Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Arrest and Self-Incrimination Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On April 17, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Salinas v. Texas. The case considers whether and under what circumstances a defendant who refused to answer questions from officers before he had been arrested or read Miranda rights was protected by the Self-Incrimination Clause of the First Amendment. To discuss the case, we have Kent Scheidegger, who is the legal director of the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Scheidegger.
When a person who is suspected of a crime, but has not yet been arrested, voluntarily speaks with the police, is his silence in response to a single question admissible as evidence? That question was argued before the United States Supreme Court on April 17th in the case of Salinas v. Texas. The defendant was suspected of the murder of two brothers, who had been shot with a shotgun in their apartment in Houston, Texas. He agreed to go to the police station, and he answered a number of questions posed by the investigating officer. However, he was silent when asked if the shell casings at the murder scene would match the shotgun that his father had handed over to the police earlier that day. The officer testified that he looked down at the floor, shuffled his feet, bit his bottom lip, clenched his hands in his lap, and began to tighten up. Salinas answered further questions after this question. Almost 50 years ago, in the case of Griffin v. California, the court established that when a defendant does not testify at trial, that fact cannot be used against him. Similarly, a footnote in Miranda v. Arizona states that if a suspect in custody invokes his right to remain silent or simply stands mute, that fact may not be used as evidence against him. On the other hand, the court has held in a number of cases, including Jenkins v. Anderson, that when a defendant does testify, a prior failure to speak may, if probative, be introduced for impeachment. In the 1976 case of Doyle v. Ohio, the Supreme Court disapproved the use of post-arrest silence, even for impeachment, but that holding was based on a due process rationale that the use contradicted the assurance given by the Miranda warnings, not that the use violated the self-incrimination clause of the Fifth Amendment. The defendants and supporting amici see this case as governed by the Griffin rule. They rely on Griffin and other Warren Court cases that speak in broad terms about a right to remain silent and assure that the exercise of this right will not be penalized by the use of silence as evidence against the defendant. They raise the specter of a suspect placed in the impossible position of either incriminating himself by speaking to the police or having his refusal to speak used against him, thus incriminating himself either way. The state and its supporting amici argue for a narrower rationales, more focused on the facts of this case. The state argues first that this case does not involve any compulsion because Salinas voluntarily chose to speak with the police. The scenario of a suspect refusing to speak with the police at all is therefore distinguishable. Alternatively, the state argues that an invocation of the Fifth Amendment right is necessary to render silence inadmissible. The latter argument is supported by the United States as amicus, focusing solely on the invocation question. The state's first argument is supported by my brief for the Criminal Justice Legal Foundation as amicus, arguing that a suspect who chooses to speak to the police has chosen to be a witness and therefore has not been compelled to be one, which is what the Fifth Amendment actually forbids. At the oral argument, the defendant argued for a broad rule against any use of a suspect's silence, as he had in his brief. There appeared to be considerable skepticism about so broad a rule. Justice Breyer, in particular, called on defense counsel to draw a line to limit the rule he was proposing. Justices Ginsburg, Kennedy, and Sotomayor were also skeptical. It was halfway through defense counsel's argument before any of the more conservative justices asked a question. The prosecution side of the argument was divided between the state of Texas and the United States. Both emphasized one alternative to the defendant's proposal, which is to focus on whether the suspect has invoked his Fifth Amendment right. The other arguments in the state's brief received little attention. In cases involving the special protection of the Miranda rule for suspects in custody, the Supreme Court has required an unambiguous invocation of the right to remain silent before the police can be required to cut off questioning. 3 years ago, in the Thompson case from Michigan, the court said that simply being silent in response to questioning, even for hours, was not sufficient to invoke that rule, and a suspect's response to a single question was admissible. Defense counsel sought to distinguish that case by distinguishing the special cutoff rule for suspects in custody from the more basic Fifth Amendment right. Justice Kagan agreed, declaring that the Michigan procedure was irrelevant. The state's suggestion that there is a difference between a refusal to answer a question and silence in response to the question drew a skeptical reaction from several justices. Justice Scalia questioned why the state would want to draw this line. Justice Ginsburg expressed concern that such a rule would benefit savvy defendants at the expense of less sophisticated ones. At several points, justices asked about a distinction between a non-answer to a single question in the course of an interview and a refusal to speak to the police at all, but no clear answer was given. A ground for distinguishing these two scenarios is that the suspect who chooses to speak with the police has chosen to be a witness and therefore not been compelled to be a witness, while the suspect who chooses not to speak at all has exercised his right not to be a witness. This distinction was raised in my amicus brief, but was not developed at oral argument. Given the justices' apparent dissatisfaction with the alternatives presented to them, the outcome of this case is difficult to predict. Look for a decision near the end of the court's term in June.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.